now a word from our sponsors.
I bet you don't want none. Look out. You know you're messing with the wrong ones.
Now watch out.
You keep talking, I'ma give you some. Just keep running and running and running.
Good day. It's the best day of the week. Great day to be alive. Great day to get better. I'm K.O. Frierson, and welcome to another episode of We Are More Than the Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I have an up-and-comer, and she just did a big show at Bond to bring in the new year. She's booked out for the year now, which is amazing. But she's been doing some really great things in music. She's a local talent, soon to be a regional talent, from regional talent, soon to be a U.S. talent from U.S. We're going to take over the world. We're going to have to. She did something really dope. She took my vocals to the theme song that you all just heard, and she put my favorite group as of right now on those on my instrumental, and I thought that was hot. She put Subsonic on Keep Running, so I appreciate that very much as well too. But you know, not to delay any further, we've got Party Girl Bree, DJ Party Girl Bree here. And you all give her a warm welcome to the platform. How you doing?
Good, and yourself?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. So what's been going on with you?
Nothing much. Just been mixing. I got booked for 3 events. So it's exciting. I'll be at Bond again.
And okay.
Yeah. And I'm with my rave group Solaris Experience. I'm with them for the rave and the after party. So I'm excited. It's going to be a long weekend, though.
That's good. And is this the underground party that you have with your group?
Yes, this is. We do like local raves. Sometimes for this, we'll go to a Charlotte. So I'm excited about that.
Okay. Now, what's the name of your collective? What's the name of the group?
Solaris Experience.
Okay. All right. So how did you all get started? We'll start there, and then we're going to work our way backwards. So how did you, first off, this is my first time hearing about a collective of DJs getting together and doing their thing. So how did that come about?
They were an established group before. So they have a wedding business too. It's called This Weddings. And then they created this Solaris experience for people who love rave music and house music. We're just bringing different energy. And I got introduced to the group by Superman, DJ Superman. Okay. He introduced me to the...
I got you. Shout out to DJ Superman. As you know, we had him on the pod as well. One of the dopest things that he said was, once we got off, he said, "Hey, man, I know this young lady, yo, she dope." And I'm like, okay, so for you to say that she's dope, she got to be dope. And I said, so dope like how? He was like, she hadn't been doing this long, but she put together this 90s mix. And he sent me the link immediately. He was like, yo, she put together this 90s mix, and like, you know, her transitions and how she's getting through it is just so smooth. Like, she's dope, man. You need to check her out. And I said, well, you know, maybe I should just have her on the pod. He was like, I don't think she's ready yet.
Bruh.
But he said, but you know, you definitely gotta talk to her, but she gonna be a problem. And I don't know, 3 bookings in a weekend, you a problem.
I try to bring in a different experience. I mix with my emotions. And that 90s mix that I created was actually from my parents. It was a dedication to them because they grew up with that music. And I grew up with it too. So it was a dedication to them. That's why I have my mom's picture.
Okay. And mom and dad got you into music?
Yes, they got me into music, but not as much. I had to do my own research. So I got myself into music.
Okay.
Not really. I just listened to all the songs that they usually play. And I always like just mimic the beats to it because it was just something about beats. For me, it was just, it's unique because I like to like mimic it. But what really got me into music was Prince.
Okay, hold on. So Prince, as in like Prince Harry or Prince William across the pond, Prince, or?
No, Prince. Prince, the revolution and the revolution.
Okay, so how old are you, Bree?
25.
So I'm trying to figure out what 25-year-old knows anything about Prince.
Well, I started listening to him when I was 5. I was watching Purple Rain with my parents when I was 5 years old. And it was with him, when I looked at him and how he sang in the music, I was like, wow, that's a beautiful man. And I just been stuck with his music, and also Morris Day and other artists. And then so my parents saw that I like movies with music, so they started showing me like Dirty Dancing, The Temptations, Why Do Fools Fall in Love, The Five Heartbeats, like any musical movie they started showing me. So I just grew a love for like music.
Okay. So what's your favorite genre of music?
Ooh, that's a hard one. I like 90s rap.
Okay.
Like old school rap. I like Ice Cube, NWA, West Side Connection.
Okay. So you all Fresh Coast then? All West Coast music?
Yeah, I'm from California, so yeah.
Okay. I can dig that. So that whole G-Funk era, and then where they say gangster rap originated. So those guys, that's what you're into.
Yeah.
So before you got on this DJ trail, what were you doing prior to?
I was in the military for 4 years active. I serve reserves right now, and I'm a year in.
Okay. So what branch?
Marine Corps.
Hoorah. Gotcha. Yeah, I got you. Well, like I tell all of my friends who have who've served, we appreciate you playing all the away games so we can be safe at home. So definitely thank you for that. What made you choose the military?
I chose the military because I wanted to be a part of something that was bigger than me.
Okay.
I was inspired by my grandfather. He served in the Marine Corps during Vietnam era.
Okay.
So I was inspired by him. So that's why I joined.
Okay. And like you said, you're still reserved right now.
Yes.
Okay, cool. So in the Marine Corps, is that where you started falling in love with becoming a DJ? Or when did this transition happen from something so structured to something so free flowing?
Yes. So while I was in the military, I was working at a club as a bottle girl.
Okay.
So, and I remember it was like this one show, this DJ, his music, I saw everybody having a great time. And I saw it's like, oh, he's controlling the crowd's emotions. So after the show, I was a little intoxicated. I came up to him and I was like, I love how you control the crowd. I want to do something like that. And he was like, okay, practice at 8 on Monday. And I thought he was joking with me, but he sent me the address. Like, he found my Instagram, sent me the address. And we started practicing from then.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's been up for there, from there. I'm sorry.
Being in the military, quite a journey.
Okay. So being in the military, going from being, well, while still being in the military, working in order to make extra money, you see this DJ controlling the room, just controlling the room. And you said to yourself, I want to do that.
Yes.
And then started practicing. So mm-hmm. how fast did you catch on to DJing?
I started blending after a month of me DJing.
Okay.
And before then it was just, I was blending, but like my beats were clashing. So when I met my mentor, he actually taught me different tricks to like have smoother transitions, because he's mainly focused on like nice blends and just going with the rhythm.
Okay.
So okay. After a month, I mastered my blending and I was in a club. I was in a Latin club and I did a 30-minute set. And that's when I brought in soca, dancehall, some reggaeton. But they mainly wanted me to focus on like the dance hall and soca.
Okay. So after a month, you already had a 30-minute spot.
Yes.
Damn.
Okay. So the guy that got you started, that's not your mentor.
I'm sorry.
No.
Okay.
No.
So what happened to the guy that got you started?
we fell off.
Uh-huh.
He actually wanted me to be something that I wasn't, and I wasn't really comfortable with. And I just I remember when he took me to the Latin Club where my mentor was DJing at before he was like my mentor.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to link me with a Latin DJ. But when I heard the Latin DJ play, I was like, okay, this is cool. But when I heard my mentor play, and I was like, I want a DJ like that.
Oh, okay.
And so I went up to my mentor, and well, he wasn't my mentor. I went up to him and I was like, my name is Bree, but my DJ name is Party Girl Bree. I was like, I would love advice or anything, like just to help me out with DJing. And he was like, oh, if you want music, then just say that. I'm like, no, I don't just want music. I want to learn what you do. And it took me 2 months to actually get lessons from him.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you had to prove to him that this is something that you wanted to do.
Yes. I sent him a mix every single day and I kept calling him like, hey, did you listen to my mix? Hey, I did this song with this song. What do you think? Like, he saw how persistent I was. And he was like, just, you know, let's start lessons. I hear the music that you're playing, and I'm intrigued now. So,
okay.
And yeah, that's how it all started with him.
I got you. So let's put a pin in that real quick. I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Where did the name Party Girl Bree come from?
It came from my promoter's name in the military. I was a promoter at clubs and parties, and I was known for killing bottles.
Wait a minute.
That's why they're like, oh, yeah, that's a party girl, because she's down for anything. Not anything, like just drinking.
So, so because you brought the party with you.
Yes. Okay,
you were killing bottles. They just started calling you Party Girl Bree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then that just stuck with you.
Yeah, that just stuck with me. Like, I was trying to come up with DJ's names, and they were like, maybe DJ Breeze. And I'm like, no, like, no. And they were like, well, why don't you just stick with your promoter's name? I say, because everybody know me as Party Girl Bree. And I was like, okay, I'll just stick with it. I didn't like it at first until like now. It's unique.
I know, like, I definitely know it's your mix. Like, if I'm doing just my favorites on not Spotify, but SoundCloud, first thing I hear, what's up, Bree? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm in for a mix. So, but yeah, that's crazy. So from being a party girl to controlling the party then.
Yeah, controlling the party by playing genres that people never thought of.
Okay.
That just makes me, that, and it's seeing their reaction, that's what actually drives me even more to like be as unique as possible. Okay. So I like to introduce new things to people, like Soca, like some Dembo, like there's some Dembo songs that are very like known, but I like to introduce like the underground ones.
Okay. I got you. So what's been the most exciting thing for you so far as pertains to your journey in being a DJ?
It's just the New Year's Eve. That was the start of like the excitement, because it was the first time I can actually be myself and actually play like music that I wanted to play, and without anybody trying to control that music. And usually, like, I would be nervous. I'm not, my first rave event, I threw up 3 times. I was nervous.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, I threw up 3 times. It was terrible. But I get lost in the zone. So, like, once, like, the nerves, like, go away and I actually feel the energy of the people, I get lost in the music. And I just try to increase it even more.
Okay. Okay. Now, the fact that you DJ with your emotions, I guess what I'm asking is, by DJing with your emotions, the way from how you move the crowd?
Yes.
Okay. Because you don't have, like, when you get up there, do you have, like, these are the sets of songs that I'm coming from? Or is it one of those, whatever's in my crate, that's what I'm playing?
So, well, yes, I have a set crate. And I'll create that crate and just practice it. But it seems like whenever I do my shows, like I only like play 5 songs out of that crate, and I just open format.
Okay.
So, and that's like the best thing to do, in my opinion, is like, yes, you have your crates like set up, but you don't know what kind of crowd you're going to have either.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's what the whole playing with the emotions come with. It's like you give them a taste of something, and if you see that they like it, you keep playing with those emotions.
Okay.
And it's easier to bring something new in.
I got you. So you're like a puppet master out there, man.
I would say so, yeah.
Okay. I got you. And it's one of those, y'all going to dance to the rhythms I bring you. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Somebody's going to move.
Yeah. Or I just want them to have something to remember.
Okay. Okay. I got you. So that being the most exciting part for you.
Yeah. That was very exciting. And okay. And it's crazy because people came up to me was like, I love your set. And I'm like, I don't even remember what I played.
So that's all that matters is the fact that it connected. And it connected so much so that they're bringing you back this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So that's the win for you.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me ask you this. I'm a switch gears a little bit. We about to get in your business. Has this space always been welcoming? And I ask because there's not a lot of women in this space. So how was your introduction or just kind of dealing with the being in a male dominated sport, if you will?
It was a little hard. It was a lot of proving myself. Like in the beginning, they had a ideal of me. Like they wanted me to be sexualized. It wasn't really so much about the music. It's what the crowd sees, and they see me, and they see me like the old person that I worked with before, my mentor. He always told me I had to wear, you know, provocative clothes to catch people's attention, and I had to wear a blonde wig because blondes have fun. And it was very degrading, especially like the whole like licking the lollipop and selling that to like the crowd. And they wanted me to be a Paris Hilton, and I was not a Paris Hilton. And that actually, the beginning of my DJ career was actually the lowest I ever felt as a DJ, because I was like, I was still trying to master my blends, and I was still trying to like navigate of like what kind of DJ I wanted to be. But I just didn't have the right guidance until I met my mentor. So it was really rough when I first started. Like people didn't really take me serious as a DJ. So, and then coming into like Greenville, I was the new person. Nobody really knew me. And so they were kind of iffy about me until they saw me at clubs actually DJing. And they were like, okay, like she actually knows what she's doing.
Wow. So you feel like you had to, well, and I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this, but we're going to ask this question. You had to prove yourself more so than your male counterparts had to prove themselves?
Yes, I had to be on point with everything. I was hard on myself for a reason. I'm still hard on myself because like you say, it's male dominant. And when they see female DJ, they're like, okay, like, they're like, okay, like, it's a female DJ. It's not the same reaction with a male DJ. But I feel like females can bring as much energy as a male DJ. At the end of the day, we're all DJs.
Right.
If you close your eyes and you hear music, you'll know it's a DJ. It doesn't matter what gender and anything else, you're a DJ.
Okay. So in navigating through that tough spot, like who were the people that were in your corner? Like who told you that to kind of switch it up? Because I know you said that they had you in blonde wigs. We talked offline. They had you doing things like licking a lollipop and passing it out to people in the crowd and those kind of weird things or whatnot. Yeah. Just like you said, just to sexualize yourself. So who was it that kind of stood with you and put the battery in your back to say, hey, you ain't got to do this shit in order to be a successful DJ?
DJ Savvy. when I first met DJ Savvy, he saw how low I was, and he saw my blonde wig, and he was like, and he, when we had our practice, our first practice, he actually saw my natural hair, and he was like, "You're not blonde." And I'm like, and I just, I was like, it's all a front. And he was like, "Why wear a wig when your hair is fine how it is?" And I was like, "That's what they told me to wear." And he was like, "No, you need to be true to yourself." He was like, "When you're true to yourself, your music will follow."
Okay. And it seems like that advice worked out.
Oh yeah. It took one show where I snatched my wig off.
Wait a minute.
People were like, "You're not blonde?" I was like, "No." And it's just because I had different blonde wigs. I had a ponytail, I had a down, I had curls. Like, I just had so many blonde wigs. And I still have those wigs, but I let my nieces play with them now because that's all in the past.
I got you. So, you know, and kudos to DJ Savvy for standing with you, because I know that was it was something you were wrestling with. And, like, did you ever feel like, okay, so maybe if I do this gimmick, that I can get the kind of acceptance that I need to get in order to be able to move forward?
At first, yes. I was, because the DJ before that I was working with, he was known for the area. And I was like, okay, like, if I have to do this to, like, basically build myself up, then I'll do it. I was trying to, like, fit in a area that wasn't really meant to be fit into, if that makes sense.
No, I totally understand.
I have a lot of DJs in North Carolina right now that do not like me, but they're so quick to tell me congratulations and give me all this props when they didn't want to work with me.
Right. So the pressure to fit in, I said, my mom and dad ain't Tetris. I don't have to disappear just to fit in. So, and that's, I don't know, you're 25. I know you listen to Prince, but I don't know if you ever played the game Tetris.
Bruh. I do. I have it on my phone.
Okay. So you know that in order to make lines disappear, you got to fit in to do it. So usually when people try to fit into something, they just blend in with everybody else. So the fact that you went against that and you had who were against you, who are now congratulating you.
Yes.
From where you now, did you start in North Carolina? And then
I started.
Okay. And then transitioned this way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did.
Okay. Now, I know you've been DJing parties, right? You're with a collective and you DJ some raves or whatnot. Have you been working with any artists in the area yet? Or any artists in general?
Not in this area. I would love to. I think you're the only artist I really worked with.
Okay. Okay.
But I have artists in California, Atlanta, and some in North Carolina.
Okay. Okay. How's that experience been so far?
It's been cool. It's just some artists, they're like, "Hey, I want you to throw this whenever you're playing at a club." And I'm like, "Okay, let me hear it." And I would give them, like, my honest advice. I'd be like, "Look," I was like, I see where you're going with this. I was like, "But maybe if I was at a different club, it would have a better reaction." Or I'll, like, suggest different beats, especially like with the rhythm of, like, the rap. I had one rapper, he wanted a Tory Lanez sound. And he used an auto tune, and I just did not like it. I was like, no. I was like, you have to have another song. And that's when he showed me his song, Swing, and it was more like a dancehall beat. And I was like, okay, I can deal with this. Like, I can think four songs ahead of this song. And
okay.
That's the biggest thing for me with artists. It's like, when you send me your music and when I listen to it, can I think four songs after that song?
Okay. So let me dig into your brain. When you took the intro, what made you go smoking out the window?
It was your last verse when you were like, "Don't get it confused. like when it was like the last verse for me was like, you're letting people know that you're not the one to mess with it. So when I listened to it, I played your second verse twice, and then I listened to your hook, like, you're messing with the wrong one. And then I was just humming like, this bitch got me painted.
Oh, that's fire.
And that's why I named the mix Messing with the Wrong One.
Oh, that's dope. That's dope. You know what? And now that I'm listening to it, that goes together.
Yeah, that was what's going through my mind when I listened to it. And I was like, okay. I was like, let me do this transition. And I was like, I say, no, I don't like the transition between like those two different beats. I was like, let me actually stem out your vocals and put it on, and it matched perfectly. And I was like, okay, we're gonna do a mashup.
Okay, so you were able to stem out my vocals and I guess stem out their vocals as well from Smoking Out the Window. What yeah. the hell program are you using to do that? Because I've been trying to do shit like that for the longest. Like, I'm trying to steal everybody's instruments,
bruh,
so I could do covers. So like that's.
I use Serato DJ Pro. They have a stem system that you can stem out the vocals and get the instrumentals, and other way around, you can get the vocals and without the instruments. Because before stems, I had to find ways to strip the beat all the way, like strip the beat off the acapellas, and it was more of a process. But now with Serato, it's more easier.
Okay, that's dope. That's dope. I'm going to have to pick your brain about that. I don't have the DJ Pro version. I just got the free version of Serato. So, I mean, I could change some of these songs to a different key and it sounds just as smooth. And I'm pleased with Serato, but I just don't know how to really use it unless I'm doing that.
Oh, yeah.
But that's...
It's the best.
Okay.
All my mashups through Serato.
Okay, that's cool. So... And I've heard a lot of your mixes, almost all of your mixes on SoundCloud. And because I'm a part of the Party Girl Brief fan club, I've heard some mixes that some premature mixes before they hit SoundCloud, which thank you so much. I do appreciate it. I'm spoiled. So those are things that I take advantage of. When you're doing your mixes, and like you said, you mix off of emotion, when you're going, is that just one take for each one of your mixes?
I bet you don't want none. Look out. You know you're messing with the wrong ones.
Now watch out.
Keep talking, I'ma give you some. Just keep running and running and running and running.
Today is the best day of the week. Man, don't start with the same song. Well, okay, thank you for being patient. I'm sorry to keep you waiting, but I needed a little heat and time to give you greatness. Uh-huh. Come on, let's get it shaking.
Come on.
They say I think that I'm never wrong. Maybe
say
they right.
Say.
They say that they want to shine. I need to dim
say
my light.
Say.
They say, forget what they time out. You know who they talking to.
Stop playing with me and go find you something safe to do.
Candyman told me to tell you keep my name out your mouth, or you gon' have to watch for the hook.
Look at him shook.
You may not like it, but you gon' love it.
Gon'
Mama
love
told
it.
Me I'm handsome. Give me a moment, it's about to get ugly.
I bet you don't want none. Look out, you know you're messing with the wrong ones. Now watch out, keep talking, I'ma give you some.
Must have spent 45,000 up in Tiffany's.
Oh no,
got a badass kids running around my whole crib like it's Chuck E. Cheese.
Whoa,
put me in the chair with an X-Men in the UFC. Can't believe it. I'm in disbelief.
This bitch got me paying the rent, paying the trip. Diamonds on her neck, diamonds on her wrist. And here I am all alone.
All alone.
I'm so cold, I'm so cold. You got me out here.
Smoking out the window.
Walking out the window.
What's up, Bree?
a new love somewhere. Help me, please. Why you doing this to me, girl? Not to be dramatic, but I wanna die. This bitch got me paying a rent, paying for trips. Diamonds on her neck, diamonds on her wrist. And here I am all alone,
all alone.
I'm so cold, I'm so cold. You got me out here
smoking up,
smoking out the window.
Cut or stump out by a pair of some Allen Edmonds. Keep thinking you're gangster. I'll send some gangsters to really test you. See me no tough guy.
Nah.
See me no tough talk.
Nah.
But be the man, so I show you better than I can talk it. Walk it like I stepped in the building and told them I own it. A little arrogant.
Probably.
Would you be mad at me?
Obviously.
Come on, stand next to me, but you can't stand next to me. I'm like that. I built the city from like jungles that. They plant me at. I tried to tell you that I'm a product of my environment. They treat me like an animal.
Yeah.
Welcome to the lion.
I bet you don't want none.
Right now, you're in the mix with my homegirl, Party Girl Bree.